Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
If you got a copy of God's Word with you, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read two verses out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. If you don't have a Bible with you, there'll be a giant one on the screen and if you're here in the room. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Now, this is going to be where we start today, but I just want to warn you in advance, we're going to move through a lot of scripture. And so your Bible is going to be put to good use today if you got one with you. And I'm going to hit a lot of verses here in a little bit, but this is where we start. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says this: "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." Now, I'm calling this message today, part three of Changing for Good, Creature of Habit. If you take notes in church, I hope you'll jot that down. Creature of Habit. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And God, I'm so excited. I've got so much anticipation, not just for what you're going to do next Sunday night, but what you're going to do right now. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do your best. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would do what I cannot do. And that as your holy word goes forth this morning, I pray, God, that you would change us from the inside out. God, we've talked about if we want 2020 to be our best year, it must be our best year spiritually. God, even last week, we talked about the mindset when it comes to changing for good and how we should think and how we should operate. And today, as we look at our habits, God, the practical things that we can do, the habits that we can form to live out the kind of life you called us to live, I pray you would do a mighty work. I pray, God, you would encourage us. I pray, God, you would strengthen our faith. I pray, God, that we would not be focused on the past year or the past decade, but we look forward into a new year and a new decade and a new opportunity to have you do a great work on us, in us, from the inside out. So speak forth, we pray. May every heart, may every life represented here in this room, represented watching and listening online, may all of us lean in to what you have to say and to be open and honest before you. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we've been in this fast, one of the things I've been praying is God, not just help me in the fast, but God, I want to feast on you. And I just feel just an anticipation rising up in my heart. And so if you're not ready, you better get ready, okay? Because I'm bringing the thunder here this morning. Now, one thing that I've learned through a lot of trial and a lot of error in my life is that nobody in this room, no one drifts into discipline by accident. Like, have you realized that as well? Like, no one just falls into good habits just by accident or just by coincidence. Like, no one just, like, all of a sudden, just no big deal, is able to wake up at 5 a.m. every single morning to go to the gym. Like, oh, I just, you know, just woke up and decided that from now on, I'm going to do that every single day. That's never happened in the history of mankind. Like, no one just falls into an amazing retirement plan, a 401k. Like, you know what? I wasn't really planning on this, but 50 years later, I've got a lot of money in the bank, and I'm ready to go and travel the world. It just happened. That's never been said by anyone in the history of mankind. You know what I know. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of striving. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of sacrifice for them to get there. And that is true in the physical, friend. That is true in the financial. And can I tell you something else today? It is definitely true in the spiritual. To be spiritually disciplined, spiritually strong, there is some effort required. Now, thankfully, God gives us strength. And thankfully, God helps us greatly in this area, no doubt about it. But God has also called us, lean into this friend, to participate in the forming of some spiritual disciplines or godly habits that will help us on our spiritual journey. Can I get an amen from somebody in God's house? This is why in 1 Timothy chapter 4, kind of our theme verses for the day, the Apostle Paul, who is writing to Timothy, a young pastor, this is why he points this out, that you need to train yourself in godliness. It's great to work on your physical body, but you need to work on your spiritual self as well, to put to work some godly habits in your life. And that's great advice for a young pastor, but can I tell you something else today that is great advice for you, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus? You've got to put some effort in. You've got to begin to train your spiritual self, because the truth is, every single one of us, we are a culmination of our daily habits. Like, you don't have to agree with me, but it's still true, friend. We are a culmination of our bad habits and our good habits, especially the small ones that we have in our life. It's actually the small things that over time make the biggest impact. Happens for good, it also happens for bad. Let's start with the bad for a moment. Take this piece of paper, for example. A plain piece of paper, and on its own, it is seemingly insignificant. It's thin, it's lightweight. Like, no one here in this room is threatened by this piece of paper, right? Like, it is not a deadly weapon. It does not scare any one of us. It's seemingly insignificant. But we all know that this one piece of paper, if it catches one of our fingers at the right angle, we're gonna get a paper cut. But still, no one is scared of this piece of paper. In fact, I was going to ask for volunteers so I could show you what it felt like, but I figured no one would volunteer. Now, paper cuts are not fun, especially if you get them in between your fingers. I don't know if you've ever done that before. And it hurts. But again, still, I've never heard a story of someone going to the emergency room because they had a paper cut, right? Like no one had to have their hand amputated because of a paper cut. Are y'all tracking with me today? This is nothing on its own. Now, here's what I want you to see. One paper cut, no big deal. But did you know 1,000 paper cuts can kill you? Let that sink in for a moment. One paper cut, no big deal. But 1,000 of them, that makes a big, big negative impact in your life. Think about smoking. I don't know any stories, and maybe there's one out there of a person dying from one cigarette, but it's the 1,000th cigarette that does the damage. I don't know one story of anybody in this room overeating one time and having to go to the hospital because of it. But when it gets to about that 1,000th time, and every day is a cheat day, you know what I'm saying? And we're going above and beyond. That's where the damage comes from. The small things that over time make the biggest impact. That's true with the negative, but it's also true with the positive. Let's get to the good for a moment. Albert Einstein, you know it's going to be good if I quote Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein once said, "The most powerful force in the universe is compound interest." Now you take a piece of paper, the size that I just showed you, 8.5 by 11, and you fold that in half as many times as you can. It looks a little something like this. Now here's some homework for you. I could only get to 6 times. Let's see if you can get to 7, okay? By the way, it's impossible, but you can try on your own if you'd like to. But I've got 6 times right here. Now that's not fascinating on its own. That's really not a great example of compound interest. Here's a great example of it. If you took a similar piece of paper, not 8.5 by 11, it'd have to be a lot wider and a lot longer, but similar in weight, similar in thickness. If you took one piece of paper, not two, not 14, one piece of paper, and somehow you were able to fold that one piece of paper in half 25 times, did you know that that one piece of paper would reach all the way up to the Empire State Building? One piece of paper folded in half 25 times. That's compound interest. Take one piece of paper and you fold it in half 45 times. If you could somehow do that, and this just blows my mind, you would reach the moon. One piece of paper. You fold it 46 times and you're back to Earth again. And somehow, and this is where I just don't understand this, and maybe you can get it and explain it to me later, but somehow, if you could fold one piece of paper 103 times, it would be thicker than the perceivable universe, which is 93 billion light years away. Like that blows my mind, friend. That's a big deal. 103 times. That is compound interest at its best definition. And friend, that is true in our lives with the small bad habits, but also the small good habits. Let me ask you a question. It's rhetorical. Don't answer out loud. Answer in your heart and mind. If you are in the middle of a life you don't like, it's not because somebody else put something on you that you didn't like. It's because of the small bad habits in your life. And you may not amen me and you may not like what I'm saying, but I'm telling the truth today. It's the small things, the compound interest over time that make the biggest impact in our world. And so this all begs the question, and this is all the setup for the most practical message in this series. What kind of good, godly habits should we be building? If this is true, and it is, the small things make the biggest impact, what should we do today so we encounter a tomorrow that we like? What should we do today that will help not just change the trajectory of our life, but our family tree, our kids, and our kids' kids, and our kids' 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 kids? I hope with all my heart you're leaning into this because this is a difference maker for you. And this is not just my personal opinion. You could read the Bible cover to cover and throw the maps in just for good support, and you will find over and over and over again men and women who had small godly habits, and it added up to a lifetime of success for the kingdom. Old and New Testament, but we don't got time to scour the scriptures completely today. And so instead, I thought we'd do something that I think is going to be really helpful and a lot of fun. But I just want to look at Jesus and his life here on the earth. Jesus, fully God and fully man, embracing his humanity. And as you read the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke and little John, as you read those gospels, you'll find that Jesus had these amazing godly habits. And I know what you're thinking. Well, yeah, he's God, and that's true, but he also fully man, 100% God and 100% man. And as he embraced his humanity in the gospels, we see all of these amazing habits displayed in his 33 years on this earth. We find habits like Bible study and fasting and worship and fellowship and rest and celebration and generosity. But in my opinion, there are three other key habits that Jesus displayed, that Jesus operated in his time here on the earth. And I think they'll challenge you, and I think they'll inspire you. As Christ followers, we should all be like Jesus, right? And so I think they'll help us live the kind of life that we're called to live with the help of the Holy Spirit. So as quickly as I can, I want to give you three habits of Jesus. Not 14, not 50. I want to give you three. And if you've never taken notes in church, I pray that you do that today, because it's the small things that you do now that will make the biggest impact. If you want 2020 to be your best year, if you want the new roaring 20s to be your best decade, it starts now, not tomorrow, not next week or next month, friend. It starts today. If you want to be like Jesus, I challenge you to take some notes in God's house and to lean in to everything that he has for you. Here's the first habit of Jesus. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Number one, communion. We see this time and time again. And I'm not talking about juice and bread, even though that's one definition of communion, and Jesus did that. But I'm talking about meeting with God. Communion. This is Luke 5:16. But Jesus often Not sometimes, not a few, not times, not whenever he thought, oh, you know what, it's been a while, so I should. He often withdrew to lonely places, and what did he do? He prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed. Friend, this was a habit of Jesus, fully God, but also fully human. In his humanity, he would pull away from the world. And don't you realize that Jesus was busy? Like, he had a mission. He was constantly ministering to people, traveling, and they didn't have buses or airplanes back then, by the way. Constantly on the move. So much. I mean, he was in highest demand. He would even tell people, like, don't tell others what I just did, because he knew it would get out of control. Like, it was the opposite of PR, public relations. Like, he wasn't trying to put his name out there. He was trying to keep it under wraps a lot of times, because he just knew people were piling in. People were crowding. He was intentional. He was busy. He always ministered, but he would also constantly pull away day after day to commune with God the Father. Friend, let me tell you something. This was a part of his flow. It was a part of his routine. Now, I want you to think about this deeply, okay? Because this is a challenging message, but this is an encouraging message as we see what Jesus has called us to do. I want you to think with me deeply for a moment. If Jesus needed to spend consistent time in prayer, do you think you can become like him without doing the same? I want you to think about it. The goal as Christian, you know what Christian means? Christ-like. You know what the life of a Christian looks like? Trying to be like Jesus. How can we be like Jesus if we're not trying to be like Jesus and what he's modeled for us? And you can pretend like this message is for somebody else. You can pretend like you know everything I'm about to say, and maybe you do, but are you living it out? Like, that's deep. Am I living out the kind of life that Jesus has modeled for me? And I got to tell you, consistent prayer is more than bless this food. Y'all love me today, I can tell. Y'all are just smiling at me. And remember, I can see you. You can force a smile if you want. It will help me out today. But like I know I'm stepping on some toes, but sometimes it hurts so good, because you need to be awakened to the life that Jesus has called you to live. Stop coasting by till you get to heaven. Heaven's going to be awesome. But did you know that as you go after Jesus, some heaven can come to earth, and we can encounter God, and we can make a difference for his kingdom? Don't get mad at me, get mad at the fasting, because this got me feasting on Jesus and I'm ready to go. I strongly encourage you, begin to bookend your day beginning and end with prayer. I'm not talking about 30 minutes. I'm not talking about an hour. I'm not talking about 2 hours. We got two kids, about to have three kids, and I understand, just like you do, I ain't got time for that right now in this season of my life. I try to get away for 5 minutes and it's dad, dad, daddy, dad. I get it and I relate. I'm not talking about quantity. I'm talking about quality. Before you go out, I don't have my phone with me, before you go digital, that you would spend moments with God. Book in your day before you go to sleep at night. Ask God to give you great rest. Ask God to help you recharge your batteries. Ask God for divine appointments the next day. Those are the kind of prayers that God will answer. Practice speaking to God throughout your day. This was a game changer for me, especially with young kids. Like, this is a game changer. That, yeah, I may not have 3 hours like I had in other seasons of my life. And let's be honest, it was about an hour max. And I'm going after the God and all that. Like, yeah, I did that at one season of my life, but that's just not reality right now, unless I want to get up at 2 a.m. And I don't. I want to be asleep at 2 a.m., okay? And so that's not reality for me, and maybe not for you in the season of life you're in. So practice praying throughout your day. 20 seconds here, 2 minutes there. Shouldn't we walk with Jesus? And isn't that a way that we walk with Jesus? Before that conversation, pray. Before you send that email, you better pray. Before you finish that fight with your spouse, you better believe you need to pray before that conversation. Make it a rhythm, a flow of your day that I'm going to spend time with Jesus. You have a long commute. You should be praying during some of that commute. That sports radio talk, you can turn it off for a moment. I love it too. But how many of y'all know it can stress you out because our teams are not looking so good in the Houston Astros. There is scandal after scandal wearing buzzers apparently. Like it's messed up. So turn that off for a moment and spend some time with God. Create a habit of going to God first. Can we just get real practical? And God convicted me on this one years ago. You got a headache, you got a little pain. Before you go to that Advil bottle, you better pray first. Nothing wrong with the Advil, but God is our great physician. Are you giving him opportunities and even the small things in your life to show up and show out? Can I get an amen in God's house? Prayer should be our first priority, not our last resort. Now, we go to God last all the time, but what would change in your life? What would change in your walk with Jesus if you went to God first instead of second, third, or let's be honest, last? We've got to make prayer a priority. This is why we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is why we create opportunities for you to get before God and to go after the one who saved you. Here's the second point. Second habit of Jesus. We could talk about a lot, but I want to highlight these three. Number two, community. Community, meeting with God's people. You may not know this about Jesus because you're new to the faith, and that's, if you're new, we're so glad that you're here, that we're all figuring this thing out. But this was a habit of Jesus. This was important to Jesus even at a young age. Young age. It's a famous story in Luke's gospel, and I talked about it before, so I'll just hit it real quick here. But Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, they actually lose Jesus. Like you thought it was bad losing your child for 5 minutes in Walmart, friend. Like they were traveling far away. Think Home Alone and Macaulay Culkin, okay? Like keep the change, you filthy animal. Like think that, okay? Like this is the scene where they're at. Like they're in this big caravan. Like where's Jesus? Where is he? How do you lose the Son of God, by the way? But they did. Where is he? And they have to travel back to where they were. And when Mary finds Jesus, she looks like any ticked off mom that you've ever seen in the history of the world. She loves Jesus, but she is mad at Jesus. Like she didn't slap Jesus, but she wanted to, okay? You can read it through the text. Like she is furious. Here's what she says. She says, "Why? How could you do this to us?" And I love how Jesus responds, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. "Why were you searching for me?" Like, why? He asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" What's Jesus saying? Jesus saying, like, where else would I be? Where else would I be? I'm about my Father's business. But it wasn't just his habit as a child. Turn to Luke 4:16 if you're really fast. Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue. That's the church, as was his custom. Another way you could say it, as was his habit. So is it a habit for you? Because it was for Jesus. And if you're a Jesus follower and you're a Christian trying to be Christ-like with the help of the Holy Spirit, it should be a custom, a habit for you. Now, you know, I get connected in different conversations that I'll just be honest with you. They really upset me as a pastor. And here's one of them. And if I've had it with you, just forgive me. I'm not going to say any names or anything. But it just hurts because it's so unbiblical. But people tout it as being biblical. Here's what I'm talking about. From time to time, I have people tell me something like this. "You know what, Pastor, I come to the church every once in a while. You know, I'll be there Easter, Christmas, stuff like that. Maybe, you know, I was at the grand opening. Maybe a couple of the events and things like that. But for me, my church is is where I'm, you know, at home and I put on a message on YouTube, and or I'm in the car and I put on worship music by my favorite Christian worship bands, or you know what, every once in a while I go out into the park and I just look at God's creation, and that's my church, and I'm doing really good. And it sounds good on the outside. It sounds non-religious on the outside. But can I tell you that if you're in that place today, like, you are actually deceived. You are. Like, I love you too much to not tell you the truth. And this is not about building Ryan's kingdom, okay? We're looking to the life of Jesus here. If you feel that way, you are deceived. Now, I thank God for all of those messages that we have available to us. I thank God for the amazing worship teams that God has built up throughout the centuries. I thank God for all the things that digital have brought upon our path. But I got to tell you, friend, if you feel that way, that church is not important to you, that it's not a big part of your life, you have bought into a lie, and you are living your life completely contrary to how Jesus lived on this earth. You see, there's power and there's blessing when we get planted in God's house with God's people. This is true spiritually, but let me give you another natural correlation here. Think about a tree for a moment. Think about a tree that's uprooted where it was once planted. Did you know that it does not immediately show signs of death? Like, when you pull a giant tree with its root system intact even out of the ground, how many of y'all know it does not pull an Avengers Endgame and dust away, right? Like, you don't see any difference right away. But if you do some study, you find out that the process of dying has now begun for that tree. And the longer that that tree, no matter how massive it was, the longer that it is in transplant mode, the longer that it is no longer in its soil and in between the next soil, it will die. And sometimes the death cannot be reversed. And that's true in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. And here's the problem with our culture, and in big cities like Houston, the fourth largest city in America. We have so many great options when it comes to church, and we do. There's amazing churches all throughout our city, and not even in Houston, but the surrounding suburbs in the smaller cities. We have so many great options, and here comes the problem. Many of us, we bounce back and forth between churches, between soils, because we got offended by this guy. This woman judged us, and they should have never judged us. I used to like this kind of worship music, but now I like this kind of worship music. That pastor, he yells too much, so I'm going to go somewhere else where he's a little bit more indignant and quiet all the time. I don't like this. I like this. And we bounce back and forth. We uproot our root system so often. The next time we find a place to get plugged in, we have no more left to give because we are now dead spiritually. And that is completely contrary to what God lays out in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You are to be planted in God's house. It doesn't have to be here. I said this 100 times. It don't have to be here, but we would love it to be here. But plant, get planted somewhere. Psalm 92, verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. In the courts of our God, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Friend, maybe you don't need another makeover. Maybe you just need to get planted in God's house. I hope I got a few friends left after the message today. Final holy habit I want to highlight. I'm going to get ready to land this plane. Number three, and you've caught on by now, they all start with C. Number three is commitment. Commitment. This was a holy habit of Jesus, his time here on this earth. And what I'm talking about specifically, and if you're in the room, you can see it behind me, helping others meet God. This is what God has called you. Not just to live this kind, like, this needs to be a habit of you consistently, as your custom would be, that this is who you are, this is what you do. Mark 10:45, for even Jesus, Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus made it a habit to serve others. So it wasn't something he did once a year because he felt guilty. It wasn't something he just did around the holidays because every restaurant steps up their game and they ask you, do you want to round this up to an even dollar to give to this thing or give to this thing? Like, Jesus was intentional. It was a habit. It's why he came. It's who he was. Think about this with me. I hope somebody's catching this today. If anybody had the right to request service from others, it's God. But God, literally, Jesus, he took off his crown and he picked up a water bucket. He washed his disciples' feet. And y'all know they didn't have closed-toed shoes back then. And it was not grass everywhere. It was dust and nastiness. There was no job behind a computer back then, okay? They were working. Showers were very infrequent, okay? Think middle schoolers on steroids, okay? That was the environment. I love you middle schoolers, but it just is what it is, okay? Jesus put down a crown. He picked up a water bucket. He washed their feet. He came to serve, not to be served. Jesus, he cared for people. He loved people, but it wasn't just lip service. Like, he backed it up with his life. He prayed for people. He came to minister, and he's called us to minister. The Bible's very clear that because of Jesus coming and what he's done, we are all ministers. Those of us who believe in Jesus and follow Jesus. You do not have to have a priest collar. You can see very clearly, I'm not wearing one. Like, all of us, we are ministers. We are called to be the hand and feet of Jesus. We are called to serve others. Jesus was committed to the mission of God, reaching people far from God and making disciples. And my heart for us, my prayer for us as Christ Covenant, is that we would be committed to the mission of God too. That we would take upon the role of servant. That we would begin to form the habit of serving. It's not just what we do, it's who we are. Babe, I'm giving it the best I can. I'm laying it all out there. I hope somebody's getting it. I honestly can't tell. But I'm giving it everything today, and I hope that you'll grab a hold of something. Holy Spirit, do your work. That you would form the habit of serving, not just in church, even though it should happen in church. If you're not serving, you should sign up, not out of guilt, but out of calling. It's a calling. There's a purpose on your life, but not just inside the four walls of this building, at your job, at your school. It's a mission field, friend. You're not there to get a degree. You're not there to make money. Those are all great benefits that come after the main benefit, and that's being on mission, telling people about Jesus, heaven being full and hell being empty because of what you do. I hope you'll write this down. If you're a Jesus follower, you need to hear this. God has not only saved you from something, he has saved you for something. Come on, somebody. There's a purpose on your life. Well, I'm a plumber. God can use your skill. I'm a teacher. God can use your skill. I'm a stay-at-home mom or dad. Did you know God can use your skill? I'm a traveling businessman. I'm always here and about. Did you know God can use your skill? You have divine appointments on every single plane that you fly on. Did you know that God can use your skill? He's given you a calling. There's a purpose on your life. You should be committed. You can hate that I yell all you want, but at least my passion shows through. I'm serious about this. Last night, God opened up a door. This is in my notes. I'm about to get to the prayer. But last night, God opened up a door with our 6-year-old son. it's just awesome how God works. And it was definitely a divine appointment. But every Saturday night, I go to bed real early, just in preparation. I spend time with the Lord. I go through just final adjustments with my message. And I'm doing that in our room. And my son comes in. He's like, "Dad, I just want to hang out." I'm like, "Of course." We see that with Jesus, right? He was never too busy for kids. That's a little side thing for some parents in the house. I know it's not easy. You got an agenda. So I have him come on in and we're talking and God just opened up a door for me to explain to him, like why do we do this? Like, why do we do church? And here's what I said to him and here's what I want to say to you. There was one reason why we moved to Houston 2 years ago. There was one reason why we left a growing, thriving church to come to a church revitalization. And we're growing and we're thriving now. But it hasn't always been that way. It's one reason why I said yes to being a pastor. Because I can tell you, I'd rather be doing something else if it was up to me. It has nothing to do with you, everything to do with me. I don't come from a line of pastors. This isn't easy for me. Every time I get up here, I'm trembling on the inside. It's not something that's easy to me. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. Just being real. I'd pretend to be sick. This is off script, y'all. Y'all better watch out. I would pretend to be sick in middle school and high school to get out of presentations. Time and time again. And then God chose me for something like this. I did not choose this. This is not about building my kingdom. Here's what I said to my son, and here's what I'll say to you. The reason why we gave up all of that is for one reason, one purpose, and that's to serve others. It's to show people Jesus. Heaven full and hell empty. That's why we do what we do. That's why we fast. That's why we pray. That's why we put money into this thing. That's why I get up here and I'm out of my comfort zone every single Sunday. I've prayed many times in the 2 years we've been here. God, if you got somebody better, you send them on. Because God, I want you to do what you can only do. So it's time in 2020, the new roaring 20s, it's time for you to put aside your agenda. It's time for you to put aside your excuses and to live like Jesus lived. God has not only saved you from something, He has saved you for something. Your moment of breakdown can be someone else's breakthrough. Your wounds can become someone else's wisdom. Let's be like Jesus. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us create godly habits just like Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we thank you that you're the ultimate leader. That you haven't asked us to do something that you didn't model. You modeled this. There's a lot of habits we could point to. A lot of things we could look to in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Holy Spirit, I believe you led us to this point today to focus on three. I pray, God, that every single person in this room and every single person watching and listening online, I pray, God, that you'd help us starting now, not tomorrow, now, to begin to consistently commune with you. We're not talking about hours upon hours. We're talking about moment by moment. 20 seconds here, 2 minutes there. As we get ready to start our day, as we get ready to walk into that difficult moment, I pray, God, that we would begin today to get planted in godly community. You have never called us to live life on our own. We thank God for the power of technology and everything we have access to. That's not wrong in and of itself. But any time that it replaces being in the middle of real, authentic, godly community, that's when it becomes wrong. God, as I said, honestly, probably 50 times in the 2 years I've been here, it didn't have to be Christ's covenant, but somewhere, anywhere, that we would get planted, that we would stay, that we wouldn't move off because of every little thing that we don't agree with, but that we'd have those tough conversations, that we'd sit down together and talk and pray, that we'd work through what we need to work through, that we would stick and we would stay. And I pray, God, for every single one of us, that we would be committed to the mission of God, to reach people far from you, to serve, to make disciples. And God, I know that these three habits, they seem so large and they seem so hard. Like, how do I make that a part of my life? But I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are faithful to help. That you'll give us strength. You'll bring us sweet conviction. Whatever we get off track, you'll show us. We thank you that you'll help. Jesus, one of the best prayer I know to pray right now is just help us to be like you. Help us to be like you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to know something else today before we move on, that not only does Jesus want you to form some great spiritual disciplines that will not only benefit you in heaven, but will benefit you now. Not only is all that true, but you need to know something else today. Jesus loves you. Like, maybe you never heard that from mom and dad growing up, and so even now, as an adult, that's hard to say to others. But I want you to know, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus sees exactly where you are. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. He knows your failures, your insecurities. He knows about that secret addiction that you've worked so hard of hiding from others. Like, he knows about it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And even though he knows all of that, it doesn't change what I just said, that Jesus loves you. I'll even take it a step further. He's madly in love with you. And today, he's not mad at you. He wants to help you. He wants to step beside you. And if you're here underneath the sound of my voice in this room, watching, listening online, if you're here and you're far from him, that can change today. All you have to do is surrender your life to him. And maybe you've never done that, and right now your heart's beginning to race, or maybe it's been a while and you're like, I need a fresh commitment. New year, new decade, new opportunity. I need a fresh commitment. But if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice that you're far from God, but you want to surrender your life to him, you want to start that new journey with Jesus. If that's you, it would be the honor of my life to lead you in a prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender. So every eye closed, please, every head bowed. But if you're here today and you're far from Jesus, but you want to get your life right with him, you want to surrender your life to him, would you raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Respond online as well. Just keep it up for a moment. I know your arm gets tired, but God sees your hand. This is a holy moment. Please, no one looking but me. Let's honor this moment. Anybody else? God, you're so good. You can put it down. Keep those eyes closed with me. All the Jesus followers in the house, you didn't see those hands, but you just need to know that there are so many lifted up. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And as I say parts of it out loud, I'm going to ask everyone, those that lifted their hand, but also all the Jesus followers as support, I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. And as you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and as you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not about the volume. It's about your heart. This is a beautiful moment we're stepping into today. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. So the many that raised your hand and also everyone else as support, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Jesus, I can't save myself, but you can save me. Jesus, I can't rescue myself, but you can. Jesus, right now, I surrender all. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, I make you my personal Lord, my personal Savior. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.